This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 9, text 17. Pitaham asya jagato mata dhata pitamaha vedyam pavitram omkara rik sama Yajur, Eva, Cha, Pitahamasya Jagato, Mata Dhata Pitamaha, Vedyam Pavitram Omkara, Driksama Yajur Eva Cha. Pita, father, aham, I, asya, of this, of this, jagataha, of the universe, mata, mother, tata, supporter, pitamaha, grandfather, vedyam, what is to be known, pavitram, that which purifies, omkaraha, the syllable om, rik, the Rig Veda, sama, the Sama Veda, yajuhu, the Yajur Veda, eva, certainly, cha, and. I am the father of this universe, the mother, the support, and the grandsire. I am the object of knowledge, the purifier, and the syllable om. I am also the Rig, the Sama, and the Yajur Vedas. Purport. The entire cosmic manifestations, moving and non-moving, are manifested by different energy, different activities of Krishna's energy. In the material existence, we create different relationships with different living entities who are nothing but Krishna's marginal energy. But under the creation of Prakriti, some of them appear as our father, mother, grandfather, creator, etc. But actually they are part and parcels of Krishna. As such, these living entities who appear to be our father, mother, etc. are nothing but Krishna. In this verse, the word dhata means creator. Not only are our father and mother parts and parcels of Krishna, but their creator, grandmother, and grandfather, etc. are also Krishna. All the Vedas, therefore, aim only toward Krishna. Whatever we want to know through the Vedas is but a progressive step to understand Krishna. That subject matter which helps us purify our constitutional position is especially Krishna. Similarly, the living entity who is inquisitive to understand all Vedic principles is also part and parcel of Krishna, and as such, is also Krishna. In all the Vedic mantras, the word Om, called Pranava, is a transcendental sound vibration and is also Krishna. And because in all the hymns of the four Vedas, Sama, Yajur, Rik, and Atharva, the Pranava or Omkar is very prominent, it is understood to be Krishna. Pitaham, it's actually very echoey now. Isn't it? It became more echoey and harder to hear. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Ram. That's better, isn't it? Yeah. Thank you. Pitaham asya jagato mata dhata pitamaha vedyam pavitram omkaram Riksama Yajur Evacha. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Krishna is everything, and therefore everything is also Krishna. That's a fact. Of course, the Mayavadis are very fond of stressing the oneness of everything. But we also accept that everything is one. Sarvakalavidam Brahma. Everything is Brahma. Because the Brahma, Eka Brahma Ditya Nasti, there's only one Brahma, and that Brahma, the Absolute, is identical with everything. There can't be anything outside of Brahma. If Krishna is everything, then there's nothing outside of Krishna. So therefore, whatever we see, idam, is also Krishna. Sarva, kalavidam Brahma. Everything is Krishna. That means the wall is also Krishna, the floor is also Krishna, the sky is also Krishna, the earth is also Krishna, I'm also Krishna, you're also Krishna. Everything is Krishna. Not some other substance. There is no other substance than Krishna. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. At the same time, we recognize that there's a difference between myself and Krishna, or a difference between everything and Krishna. Matsthani sarvabhutani nachaham teshvavastita. Everything is in me, and yet I'm not there. Pashyame yogam aishwaram. That comes, I think, just a few verses away. Where? What is that number? Nacha matsthani bhutani pashyame yogam aishwaram. Everything is within me, and at the same time, everything's not within me. So there's oneness, and then there's difference. Matsthani sarva bhutani. Nacha matsthani bhutani. Everything is within me, everything is also not within me. But here in these verses, Krishna is giving the oneness side. Pitaha asya jagato. I am the father of the entire universe. Father means the source of birth. Janmadi asya. The source of creation. Janmadi asyataha. The source of creation is the personality of Godhead. So the Lord says, Pitaham. I'm the father of the whole universe. At the same time, Srila Prabhupada takes the comments that our father is also Krishna. Our material father is also Krishna. And Mata, our mother is also Krishna. Dhata, supporters. Pitamaha, our grandfather is also Krishna. Because there's nothing other than Krishna. Therefore, the Vaishnav gives respect even to the ant. The ant is also Krishna, the tiny ant. He sees that here's Krishna. He sees everything. Everything is also Krishna. One time in our first temple, one devotee moved a clock with his foot. Probably don't do that. Because the clock is also Krishna. Everything is sacred in relationship to Krishna. Everything is sacred in relationship to Krishna. Everything separated from Krishna just becomes mundane. It becomes another object for my enjoyment. And something else for me to try to own and control. But when I see everything in relationship to Krishna, then everything is to be respected, everything is to be honored, everything is to be seen as not different from Krishna. Mata dhata pitama. Therefore, the of course, in civilized society, especially the seniors are seen as representatives of God. Deva dvija guru pragya pujanam. In the Bhagavad Gita, it said that in the mode of goodness, one worships Deva, the Supreme Lord. Or Deva also means the demigods. We respect the demigods also. And dvija, the Brahmins, or the twice-born, Brahmins, Kshatriya, Vaishya also. And guru, the spiritual master. And pragya, superior persons, mother, father, grandparents, seniors. Deva, dvija, guru, pragya, puja. Why? Because they're taken to be representatives of Krishna. The king also, nadanam cha naradhipam. The king is the representative of Krishna. The when Rupa Goswami, not Sanatana Goswami, reported to the Nawab that now I can't attend the court, I'm feeling a little sick. So the Nawab sent his physician to see what is the position, what is the situation of Sanatana Goswami. Physician came back and reported he's fine, but he's reading Bhagavatam with some Brahmins. That's his, he's reporting sick, but actually he's doing something else. So then the Nawab himself came on the scene. Brahmins are all there. Sanatana Goswami is studying Bhagavatam with them. So the Nawab entered, and all the Brahmins stood up. This Nawab means he's Mlecha, Yavana, but everyone stood up because he's the king. And the king is to be respected as the representative of Krishna. It's taken that due to his pious activities, he's been given the responsibility of king. So the formerly also in other, in even in European kingdoms, they used to honor the king as being divinely appointed by God or being the representative of God. They saw that God is protecting us through the king. The king is appointed by God for our protection. Similarly, the parents also. Practically for the children, the parents are God. They're the controllers, they're the protectors, they're the maintainers. So the parents are like God. Therefore, they're to be respected also. And similarly, the parents also have to actually represent God. The king actually has to represent God. The guru also has to, not that simply taking the position of guru or king or spiritual master or father, mother. Pita na sasya, janani na sasya, namochiyed ya, samupetya mityum. To take that position, one actually has to be able to represent Krishna and deliver his dependence from the clutches of birth and death. That means that I can't think, now I'm guru, I've also become God, I'm also Krishna. Then he becomes worthless. Just like that Dana. He issued a proclamation. Now no one should waste time in these sacrifices and yajnas and everything. Everyone should simply offer everything to me. Because the king is non-different from the personality of Godhead. So in that way, he served his purpose of being the biggest egotist in the kingdom, that There's no difference between the king and God, so don't waste your time with God, simply worship me. That also, he wasn't the only one. There have been times in the ancient Roman Empire where they were practically worshiping the emperor as God. In this way, things are misunderstood. That the subordinates should honor the superiors as being as good as God, but the superiors have to think that I'm simply servant of God. Not that now I've become God. That's nonsense. Just like there's one guru, he writes, Prabhupada used to sign his letters, "Your ever well wisher." So this guru, he used to sign his letters, "Your own true self." Now I'm your own true self. If you're my own true self, then why do I have to listen to you? Why do you have to, if you're me, why do I need a letter from you also? In this way, they tried to make everything as one, so I'm your own true self. So the bona fide guru doesn't think I'm your own true self, but I'm simply humble servant of Krishna. But the disciple has to see that sakshad hari tvena samasta shastra uktas tatha bhavyadeva shakti. The guru is as good as God, kintu prabhu ya priya eva tasya, because he's the intimate servant of God. So one has to see Krishna everywhere. Krishna is appearing to me as the guru. Krishna is appearing to me as the king. Krishna is appearing to me as the father and mother. Krishna is appearing to me everywhere. Krishna is everywhere, and he's instructing me from every corner. He's helping me from every corner. He's everywhere. His hand is everywhere. Because everything is his energy. Ekadesha stitasyagner jyotsna vistarini yata parasya brahmana shakti tatedam akilam jagat. As a fire is in one place and spreading its heat and light in every direction, so Krishna, although in one place, is spreading himself everywhere by his energy. Parasya brahmana shakti. In that way, Krishna is everywhere. There's no difference between the energy and the energetic. Shakti matayo naveda. The energy and the energetic are one. You can't separate the sun from the sunshine. We want the sun, but we don't want the sunshine. We want the fire, but we don't want heat and light. No, they're inseparable. At the same time, there's a difference. And one is the energy, one is the source of the energy. We say the sun is in my room. Because the sun, the energy of the sun is in my room. Therefore I'm getting the benefit of the sun. The sun is present. But if the sun planet were in my room, I'd be dead. Because the sun planet is the source of all the energy, I'd be finished if that sun were in my room. So therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his philosophy achintya bhedabhi, simultaneously one and different. One because the energy and the energetic are one, and different because they're different. So mata dhata pitama. So I'm surrounded by Krishna in the form of parents, relatives, and Vedyam, Vedaischa Sarabhaya, Aham Eva Vedya. Vedya means that which we have to know. That which is to be understood by knowledge is Krishna. It's Krishna. From one point of view, any knowledge is Krishna. Your physics, your chemistry, your maths, your history. It's simply Krishna appearing in different ways. If I'm studying math, I'm studying Krishna. If I'm studying chemistry, I'm studying Krishna. If I'm studying anything, I'm studying Krishna, because there's nothing else but Krishna. The materialistic chemists, they're simply studying chemicals, how they interact, what they're made of, but they don't understand that they're studying Krishna. But the devotee understands, yes, I'm studying Krishna, because this is Krishna's energy. Therefore, his study is different from the study of the materialist. The materialist is thinking, how can I exploit this energy? How can I prove that the energy is existing with no superior control, that everything is there in the material nature? They're thinking in some atheistic way. But the devotee is looking for Krishna, even in chemistry, even in math. He's seeing that everything is working in such a way because Krishna has arranged everything. Like a person, if he's seeing a nice painting, here we have some nice artwork. So the mundane person, he just sees, here's some paintings. But another person will see, oh, such nice boys and girls have done this, made these pictures. So they'll see, oh, this devotee, she's very talented though. He's also got a nice sense of color. He's done nicely. They'll see that these nice boys and girls, they're very artistic and Krishna conscious, so they've made this nice artwork. So while seeing the artwork, they'll see Krishna. Of course, the artwork is also Krishna, because Krishna's form is depicted. But they'll also see that while seeing the artwork, they'll see the artist. They'll think of the artist. Maybe my child has done this art, or this other child has done this art. So they'll see the artist present in the artwork. Similarly, the devotee, he sees the chemistry, the physics, the whatever it is. It's all the artwork of Krishna. So he thinks, actually, I'm studying Krishna. He can think of Krishna even while doing homework. He'll see, oh, this is actually, Krishna is there. Or in any work, in any business, he'll see that I'm simply, suppose if I'm in finance, so this money is also Krishna. It's simply Krishna's energy. And therefore, actually, it deserves to be used for Krishna. The materialist wants to separate the energy and take it for himself. Just like Ravana. He wanted to take the energy of Ram. Yes, could we do a mobile check, please, and put all the mobiles on silent? Ravana wanted to take the energy of Lord Ram, Sita Devi, and enjoy for himself. And Hanuman wanted to see that the energy is restored to Lord Ram. So the devotee, he sees energy, and he wants to see the energy and the source of the energy in their eternal relationship. That he wants to see. Those who simply see the energy are the Shaktas. Shaktas. They're worshipping the energy. They're interested in the energy. The scientists are also Shaktas. They just care about the energy, and they don't understand the source of the energy. Or those who are worshipping Shakti in the form of Durga, or now the Durga Puja is going on. They're Shaktas. They're just interested in the energy, and they don't understand the relationship to the source of the energy. And those who are simply seeing the Supreme without any energies, they are the impersonalists. They don't see that the Supreme is not like a big formless block, but that the Supreme is the controller of so many different energies. Prasya Shaktir Vibhaiva Shuyate. Multifarious energies. So our philosophy is not to be like the Shaktas and not to be like the Mayavadis on the other hand, but to see the energy and the source of the energy and together. Just like Sitaram, Lakshmi, Narayan, Radha, Krishna. That's complete. The energy alone has no meaning. And the source of energy, without energy, has no meaning. Just like a commander and no troops. That's meaningless. Commander means there must be troops. The troops are his energy, his forces. So the Supreme Commander has his forces, his energies. Prasya Shakti Vividaya Vishwita. In this way we have to see. So that Krishna is the object of knowledge, Vedyam and Pavitram. Pavitram Paramam Bhavam. He's the Supreme Pure and the Supreme Purifier. Asnaviram Shuddham Apapavittam. Shuddha, he's completely pure. And Apapavittam. He purifies us also. Krishna is pure, and therefore, if we want to come in touch with Krishna, we also have to become pure. That becomes possible by the grace of the pure. By ourselves we'll not become pure, but Krishna is pure, and when we come in touch with Krishna, by the grace of Krishna, we can be purified. The holy name of Krishna, the chanting of the holy name, will purify us. Vedyam Pavitram, the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, that will also purify us. Purify us. What is that in the Bhagavad Gita? Pavitram Iyate. When you want it, it's not there. Let's find it. It's there. Nahi gyanena sadrisham pavitramiha vidyate. I was looking at it and not seeing it. Nahi gyanena sadrisham pavitramiha vidyate. There's nothing more pure in this world than transcendental knowledge. So by understanding this Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, we become purified. The mind becomes purified, the intelligence becomes purified by getting knowledge of Krishna. Nahi gyanena sadrisham. No other knowledge is equal. Nothing else is equal to the power of transcendental knowledge. Nahi gyanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. This is the difference between mundane knowledge and transcendental knowledge. By mundane knowledge, we don't become purified. Otherwise, every college student would be a pure devotee. But college students generally are notorious for being impure. Impure in their activities, impure in their habits. But they're becoming men of knowledge. They're studying under great professors. They're taking so many courses, they're doing so much work. So why are they not becoming the most pure members of society? Because that knowledge is not actually knowledge, or it's not transcendental knowledge. Otherwise, the students of transcendental knowledge become purified. They become pure in their understanding, pure in their habits, pure in their purpose in life. They become pure. Gurukul education means to teach the child in such a way that he becomes purified. His existence becomes purified. Vedyam Pavitram, by transcendental knowledge. And Omkar, this sound, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu, in all the Vedas, this sound is the representative of Krishna. The followers of Shankaracharya have tried to take some other words from the Vedas and make them the Mahavakya, the big word, Tatvamasi, Aham Brahmasmi. But actually the Mahavakya in all the Vedas is Omkar. Vedyam Pavitram Omkar. Pranava sarva vedeshu, om ityekakshara brahma, vyaharan mamanusmara. This omkar is there in every Vedic hymn because it represents Krishna. So, and Riksama Yajurevacha, the Vedic hymns also, are nothing but Krishna. Their goal is Krishna. The sounds themselves are none different from Krishna, Shabda Brahma. So in this way we have to become Krishna conscious, then our life becomes successful. Some questions? What questions from the students this morning, this evening? No questions? Yes? Yes, we have to relate our material activities to Krishna. Otherwise, they're useless. They're meaningless. Anything. Anything, if you don't relate it to Krishna, then it's nonsense. It must be related to Krishna. Otherwise it's Maya. Anything not related to Krishna is Maya. That which doesn't even exist. Which has no real existence. So our material activities, we must relate to Krishna. That's the art of working. To take that work and connect it to Krishna. Now then, how do I do it? So maybe I take my working skills and I directly do something. If I am a construction man, maybe I help build a temple. Or if I am a scientist, I help spread Krishna consciousness in scientific language. If I'm something else, if I'm a farmer, then I provide some fruits or vegetables for Krishna. If I'm in automobiles, then I drive for Krishna, or I repair the cars for Krishna, or I do something directly for the Krishna consciousness movement. Printer and print books for Krishna. Otherwise, suppose I'm in some useless profession, as there's so many these days. And all right, of course, even these useless professions, somehow we'll find a way to use them for Krishna. Money can be offered to Krishna. After all, what is work? Work means somehow to get some money. So then money can be used for Krishna. In the workplace, I can preach Krishna consciousness, find some interested parties and tell them about Krishna. Somehow my customers or my colleagues find some way to connect that with Krishna. Is that all right? And one should think that I'm doing this work for the service of Krishna. That means a change in consciousness. Generally, I think I'm doing this work for me. For my wife, for my family, for my house, for my car, for my this, for my that. But one should adjust one's life in such a way that one thinks that actually I'm doing this for Krishna. It's not simply a mantra, I'm doing this for Krishna. But actually one should adjust the work in such a way that it's actually being done for Krishna, that I'm actually thinking. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that actually this house belongs to you. And the people in the house are all your servants. And by serving them, I'm serving your servants, I'm maintaining them, I'm doing in that way. So that he saw his home to be like the spiritual world, actually. Kirtan is going on there, Krishna is being worshipped there, the people, so many Vaishnavas are there. So he actually, that in that way, complete change of consciousness. The materialist thinks, what is it? Man's home is his castle. So he's thinking, this is where I go and enjoy. You know, I'll work and then I'll come home and I'll enjoy nice food and family, happiness, everything. The Krishna conscious person knows this is temporary. What enjoyment is there? But let me connect all of this with Krishna, then it starts to have eternal value. Is that okay? Some other question? Yeah, Prabhupada personally said, I was there at one kirtan, he said, this is chanted by the Mayavadis. Although it's very popular all over India, and you can even find it mentioned in a purport in Srimad Bhagavatam, yes. Prabhupada said, this song is chanted by the Mayavadis. So we should chant what is chanted by the Acharyas. Just Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, the other Acharyas. Yes, so what you heard is correct. I was personally there, Prabhupada said that. We've never heard Prabhupada chant Sri Krishna Govinda Hare Murari. You'll hear it, and the professional singers will sing it, but Prabhupada didn't. So Mahajana Yena Katasa Panta. We should follow in the footsteps of the Acharyas. Mantras that are vibrated by the Acharyas, that should be our what we chant. There are so many verses from Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, so many songs by the great Acharyas. Oh, there's sufficient mantras and bhajans to chant. And Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Yes?
Can you please explain of the meaning of the shloka? Abhichet Sudaracharo, ninth chapter.
Abhichet Sudaracharo, Bhajate Mamanam Yapak, Sadhureva Samantavya, Samyak Vyavasito. Actually, I've given a little discussion of this on my website. For those who are interested, www.jswami.info. Promote the website here. jswami.info. But in summary, if someone is engaged in the service of Krishna, then even if there's some discrepancy in his behavior, he has to be considered a saintly person. Because Kshipram bhavati dharmatma. That's superficial.
He'll switch off your mobile space.
He'll quickly be elevated. It's a superficial thing. Because he's in the material world, sometimes the material energy catches us. But if a person is determined to serve Krishna, he has to be considered a saintly person. And a person who's not engaged in devotional service, even though he may superficially have good qualities, is considered useless. Manorite nasati dhavatovihi. Just like in America, while in America, in many places, you'll find that there are people who are very well dressed and they speak very nicely, they're like first class gentlemen, and cultured in many ways, and sometimes generous. And only thing is that they're the chief men in the mafia. Right? And they dress nicely, they speak nicely, they're very perfect gentlemen, everything. But they're the guys who are running organized crime all over the state. So that means that their good qualities are all superficial. Because when you go into the core, they're first-class outlaws. Why? Because they're against the state. So you find someone, he's a gentleman, he's nicely dressed, he speaks in beautiful tones and beautiful language, and he's first-class in every way. But he's not a Vaishnav. Yeah, he's not engaged in the service of the Lord. He doesn't acknowledge the supremacy of the Lord. Then he's an outlaw. Harava bhaktasya kuto madguna. What good qualities does he have? Manorate nasati bhavatobi. Just like Kamsa, he was affectionately driving the chariot of his sister. But as soon as there was something about his own welfare, oh, ready to kill her. Means it was all superficial. Is that okay? Yes. One class, which?
A class of men who worship the energy of the Lord.
And yes.
Other who worship the energy. Those who worship the energy, they are the Mayavadis, but other who worship, they are basically worshipping the form, the Maya form of the Lord.
Worshipping the Maya form of the Lord?
The energy.
Yeah, and worshipping the energy separately means Shakti. They're the Shaktas. They're interested in the energy of the Lord, but not the Lord. Ravana is the number one example. Sita Devi is the energy of the Lord. He was very interested in the energy, but he wasn't interested in Ram. Ram he wanted to get rid of, because he wanted to enjoy the energy of the Lord. Just like people, they want to enjoy money. They don't want to give the money to Krishna, use it for Krishna. They want to take it for themselves. This is my money. Or the resources of the earth, the oil, the natural resources. This is ours. You know, we'll send our army and we'll take it. They don't acknowledge this belongs to Krishna. It's given by Krishna, it's meant to be used in the service. No, that they don't have. This is ours. So, in that way, everything, this energy is meant to be brought under our control. We can bring nature under our control. We can direct nature. It means it's ours, man and his world. Or they're interested in power. You know, the people who, their whole interest in life is power. Even, you know, someone, suppose we were discussing this, I forget who was talking about it the other day, or maybe one of the acharyas had said this, that a person has money, suppose he has $5 million, still he wants to make it $8 million, $10 million. Why? It's not that he can actually enjoy anything more. He already has, you know, everything money can buy. He has everything. But why does he want more? Because it's more. At a certain point, he just wants more because it's more. More money, more. Even the person, the materialistic scholar, he wants more knowledge. Why? Because it's more. More books. More degrees after his name. More. Why? Knowledge is power. He wants power. Shakti. Yeah. Or they want money. Money is power. Shakti. Or they don't care about money, they want to be president, or they want to be prime minister. Why? Powerful position. They're interested in power. Shakti. But they don't understand that the Shakti comes from God. That it's God's power. God gives this power. That it should be used in God's. That, no. My power. This is demonic. The Shaktas generally are demonic. There's so many great worshippers of the power of God. And who want to ignore or neglect God. And this is the Shaktas. Therefore our philosophy is Shakti and Shaktiman, energy and energetic together. Radha, Krishna, Sita. Something else? Thank you all very much.